I'm Dave Packard. Hundreds of cars and trucks trapped in several feet of snow by a blizzard hitting Northern California and Nevada. Renee Edelman riding out the storm in Marin County.
Our house was rocking last night. There were gale force winds. The windows were creaking. It was the worst that I've seen in a few years.
Blizzard warnings remain in effect. Some towns have already received more than 7 feet of snow. And Texas conditions worsening as they battle a wildfire. It's grown to more than five times the size of New York City. Growing violence in Haiti. The government saying gangs attacked a prison. Thousands of inmates breaking out. An Israeli newspaper saying Israel boycotted Gaza ceasefire talks in Cairo today after Hamas rejected its demand for a complete list naming hostages that are still alive. Vice President Kamala Harris today in Selma, Alabama, marking the 59th anniversary of Bloody Sunday, a key moment in the battle for civil rights. This is ABC News. Temperatures could go as low as 40 degrees below zero. As a Florida judge continues to weigh the trial date for the classified documents case this weekend, former President Trump continues to claim that the Justice Department cannot prosecute a political candidate in the middle of their campaign because of a 60-day rule. But experts, including Preet Bharara, the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, and ABC News contributor, say that that's not quite true.
As Jack Smith's team argued in court on Friday, that norm extends to things that are within the control of the Justice Department. They don't apply, in their mind, and I think this is correct, to a trial happening after the indictment has already taken place, right? So a judge can decide in his or her discretion to proceed with a trial, notwithstanding that policy.
A 15-year-old was shot after a massive brawl broke out at Six Flags Over Georgia on the park's opening day Saturday. The crowd spilling into the street, shots fired, police returning fire, striking the teen, who is now in critical condition. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts. So we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road. Plus, IgniteGlassandGifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
Hi, this is Scott Trout of Cordell & Cordell. If you're a dad who is facing divorce, there are extra layers of stress that may include stereotypes and assumptions. No two situations are the same. Our legal experience and dedication prepare us for whatever legal challenges we face together. You need a partner you can count on. For more than 30 years, Cordell & Cordell has represented men in divorce.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Madison area attorneys. 1110 Fourier Drive, Suite 120, Madison, Wisconsin, 53717.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. President Biden's support for Israel's war in Gaza is costing him votes from Muslim, Arab American, and pro-Palestinian communities, if the results of the recent Michigan primary are any indication. More from Farah Siddiqui.
More than 100,000 people voted uncommitted in Michigan's presidential primary. An exit poll of over 500 Muslim voters was conducted by the Council on American-Islamic Relations. CARE's Government Affairs Director Robert McCaw says 94% of American Muslims who voted in the Democratic primary voted uncommitted.
It's a clear sign that our communities are organized. We're a political force in these states and other swing states, and we can tip the results in any election when it counts.
The exit poll found that potential third-party candidates are polling better than Biden, and if an election was held today, 40% of Muslim voters would prefer an unnamed other candidate. The poll also found 13% might vote for GOP frontrunner Donald Trump. The Biden administration has faced significant protests in Michigan. According to McCaw, the initiation of the Vote Uncommitted campaign was in protest of the president's reluctance to call for a ceasefire in Gaza. He says these voters weren't bluffing.
It's noteworthy that potential third-party candidates such as Dr. Cornel West are polling better than Biden with Muslim voters, while others like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Jill Stein are polling evenly with the president.
In response to the protest vote, Dearborn Mayor Abdullah Hamoud wrote on social media, "Today, thousands said enough. As American citizens and Michigan voters, we have made our voices heard at the ballot box. Now it is up to President Biden to listen to Michigan and do the right thing." I'm Farah Siddiqui. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
For you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With Madison area weather, I'm Corey Hartman. Tonight, partly cloudy, breezy, 46. Chance of showers and storms on your Monday with a high around 58. Showers and storms Monday night, one could be on the strong side, a low around 37. For Tuesday, becoming sunny with a high of 50. That's WMDX weather. Right now, 71 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
I like your stories and your reporting. Great show.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Kicking off hour two of the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to Mino and the mayor of WGBW, where this week on their Small Business Spotlight, they welcome to the show Alex and Martin Flavish of Noble Roots Brewing Company.
Can't get enough of Mino and the mayor? You can watch the show live right now on Facebook. Search for Mino and the mayor or WGBW or Oshkosh Air Support and see the entire show unfold right before your eyes. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here, 6:34 this morning. Cold one out there, 7 degrees in Green Bay. Jim?
These next guests, you guys check all the boxes for me. These two guys are from Noble Roots Brewing Company. And you know,
let's let them introduce themselves, fellas. Okay.
Yeah, sure. My name's Alex Falish. I'm the head brewer, finance guy, co-janitor.
We all are.
I'm Marvin Falish. I'm kind of tap room operations, some outdoor sales, also part-time janitor.
There you go.
Must be a lot of cleaning up to. They need two janitors, huh?
Yep. Well, most entrepreneurs are part-time janitors. You guys are located on University Avenue. Can't miss it. Right by kind of Schmidt Park.
Yep. Right at the entrance to Schmidt Park.
Right. I love what you guys are doing, and the beer that you have there, the different taste, and they actually brought some stuff in this morning. I don't know. It might be a little early for me, not for John, but thanks for bringing
this in. Well, you know why? Because coffee-flavored beer, it's tremendous. Now, we got to back up here. Let's, you know, I mean, things are going great now.
Yeah.
Tell us how you guys got there from day one where you guys were sitting together, and it's like, hey, Dad, I got an idea. Or Dad said, hey, son, I got an idea. Where did that begin? Because this is the number one thing we like to talk about with our small businesses or local businesses. The number one thing we really like to pump is grassroots type of businesses. So tell us how you got from there to here.
Okay. So I'll kind of go with that. We, back in 2007, my oldest son, Tyler, was studying in the Netherlands. And we did a family trip, went to a bunch, you know, four or five different countries, had our first taste of what really craft beer was in the old breweries in Europe. Had a lot of fun. We came back and just decided to homebrew. And I think that's how a lot of breweries start. Started on the kitchen stove, you know, kind of had some accidents on a kitchen stove, got kicked to the garage. And then from the garage, we were able to kind of, we joined the Green Bay Rackers, the local homebrew club, and got to pour at events and got better and better. And then one day sitting around a pool talking with, you know, our wives, and I have three other children, a son, Tyler, and a daughter, Katie and Megan, that are, you know, part of the company. We decided, hey, let's open a brewery.
Wow. You know? Wow. Was it all like learning on your own pretty much? You know, you get advice from other people and like that club and everything, but otherwise, was it just trial and error?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, from a brewing standpoint, I did not study brewing. I studied abroad in Germany, and I, you know, in theory studied beer, but that's not what I was actually there for. I just studied
the
a lot on a personal level.
The creation.
Exactly.
John studied that in college too, but yeah. Yeah, it's, You guys, how is that going with? I mean, you're over the hurdle, right? 6 years. I mean, you guys are obviously doing well. We're going to talk about an expansion that you're doing, but tell me just a little. Just comment on the family dynamics. Sometimes that can be a little bit challenging.
Yeah, you know, it's people a lot of times say don't start a business with family, but and I can understand that. But there's also a lot of positives. You know, for the two of us especially, we know what it takes to make the business succeed, and we're both equally motivated to get it there. And then we also can rely on, you know, my mom, my wife, my sisters, all of my siblings to pitch in when we need help.
Right.
And by the way, Todd, your review on this?
Woohoo.
This is good stuff. Yeah. I know. It's fantastic. Go ahead, Jim.
All right. So we're celebrating 6 years?
7 years.
7 years. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Okay, 7 years. And what's all going on there? And then I want to talk about your next deal. So what's going on to celebrate the 7 years? And you're to be commended, celebration or not. 7 years, I mean, you're out of the woods. That first year you burned through the capital that you raised. And then you guys got through COVID, too. I'll give you a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, I mean, COVID was a challenging time. And, you know, we were definitely very cautious during that time frame. But we have a huge supportive customer base.
Oh, yeah,
so every time we came up with something new, there's a line through the parking lot, and it was frequently gone in 30 minutes.
Is it basically word of mouth at the time?
At social media.
Yeah.
Yeah. Word of mouth and social media is really what we rely on.
And who comes up with the new recipes? You guys are good at introducing new products, and they tell you, you know, 15% of your sales should be new products. Mm-hmm. And who comes up with that?
Go ahead.
So a lot of times it's, you know, like we'll talk something we might have tried somewhere. My son or someone in the family will say, hey, I've tried this beer somewhere or this style. You know, so then we kind of talk it back and forth. And we do a lot of times before we come out with a new beer, we do what we call a garage series. And that kind of falls back to years back. We used to brew beer in the garage. So we would actually brew a small batch and open the garage door. And all of a sudden friends and cars would pull up and come in the garage and taste them. And it's kind of like a small pilot batch. So a lot of our new beers are done that way. Alex creates them now. We kind of brainstorm on what we want to taste, what we want it to look like, and that's how most of the new ones come up.
I love it.
All right. We call that market research. And, you know, and businesses get so excited, they miss that step. And that's a critical step, and you've got to really be willing to listen. You know, sometimes you're almost better off having somebody else listen to your customers because you don't want to hear, you know, you're so, oh God, this is going to be the next, you know, best thing. And that's cool how you do that. I'm going to share that Monday with my class. I mean, you call it a garage testing?
A garage series.
It's, you know, it's paying homage to our home brewing roots. And I think we've done in 7 years, 130 different batches through that. And some of them are,
that's awesome.
Hey, like actually this, let's see, Runic Reanimator, our coffee blonde, was garage series number 128, I believe.
So 128 different types of beer you guys have made?
There are a couple repeats in there.
That's incredible.
But, well, and that's just the garage series. We have another, you know, 40 between core beers and seasonals.
Wow. Do you grow your own hops?
Yeah, a little bit. We have a little bit in my parents' backyard that we probably planted 10, 15 years ago.
Okay.
And then once a year we do a beer called So Fresh, So Green. It's a fresh hopped IPA. So we utilize those hops and then we actually open it up to the public that they can bring in their fresh picked hops in exchange for some beer tokens. And then we brew that batch of beer, can it up, distribute it a little bit. And it's really fun.
Do you grow them alongside your house?
Yeah.
Or your garage? Do you guys do that?
Mm-hmm.
So just for anybody who's thinking about growing hops, they're weeds and they will grow wherever they want and go wherever they want.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that. How many hops, as we were talking yesterday about, I'd heard somewhere where it takes 40 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of actual syrup. How is it with hops, like a bushel of hops or something? How much does that make? How much do you need?
Well, I mean, it depends on the form. So, you know, for the vast majority of our beers, we're using pellet hops. So they've been processed. Some of the green matter has been removed. But then, you know, a beer like Fleeting Glory, which is a hazy IPA, uses just a metric crap ton of hops. Excuse my language. I think in a 300-ish gallon batch, we use 50 pounds of hops. So it's just a ton, which is a real mess.
Wow. See, So we're talking with Marvin and Alex Falish. These guys, you know where their place is located, 2790 University Avenue, Noble Roots Brewing Company. Celebrating 7 years, which, again, you're to be commended for that, and especially getting through COVID. I just want to give you guys 2 stars for that.
Only two?
No.
Two out of one.
Two out of one.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say you get a gold star. I'm giving them a double gold star.
Okay. All right.
Now I lost my train of thought. I want you to talk about
your... I mean, it's like 5 stars, and you go to...
Okay, six
stars. I like
stars.
Your hotel. I'm going to give you
11
two stars.
11 stars. Okay,
it's a great restaurant.
Okay.
I'm going to give you 2 stars.
I don't want...
Great show, you guys. 2 stars.
Back to the celebration. You're introducing 2 beers.
Yeah. So the Runic Reanimator and then Fleeting Glory is our hazy IPA series. So I believe this is the third different variant we've done. So this one highlights Citra hops, Citra, Cascade, and Mosaic hops. And the idea behind it is hazy IPAs don't last very long. They're meant to be drank pretty quickly after packaging. So on each of the cans, we have photos of family members from their prime sports days. So on this one, we have, let's see if we can hear. We've got myself playing, like 5-year-old soccer, and then my older brother Tyler playing middle school football. So really, our glory days of sports.
That'd be because Jim, do you have a picture of you as a freshman wrestler before you got kicked off the team?
So on just top checking. Of those two
go
beers,
ahead, Todd, I was just go ahead. I got a question for you.
Yeah,
I know you've only really met these guys today, but if you had to create a beer for Mino and the Mayor, what kind of flavorings would you throw into that?
Ooh, that's tough. I'd want to, when I do that kind of process, I want to talk through what they normally drink. Maybe Mino's salty a little bit. And I need
well,
to...
I just didn't think you wanted the BS in there. It wouldn't taste that good.
No.
Okay,
so we BS for a living. And the way you come up with your things, you were saying, Marvin, that...
Yeah, I think that's when you become a brewer or start owning a brewery. Every time you go somewhere... Your vacation or your trip is planned around what breweries are there that you want to try. And even if not, it's kind of like the person that loves cheese, and anytime they see the cheese factory,
right,
they pull
you
in.
Jump in.
But when you own a brewery, any brewery you go by, it's like, oh, let's go stop there and have a beer and see what
that's
they,
what awesome.
They
make. How popular has, I mean, like I said, the UP right now has 2 thriving industries. One is cannabis, the other is breweries. How popular has this become over the last 5 or 10 years?
You know, it's super popular, and the way that the industry has gone is more towards local tap rooms, which is why we started our business the way we did. We effectively reside within a neighborhood. It's kind of back to the pre-prohibition days where you got your beer from the brewery that was a mile away.
Right.
Obviously, we've grown past that, but that concept still is front of mind for us, where we focus on our local area and produce beer for the people near us.
Okay, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about, because so many people do this. Like I said, I got a great friend, Ted Stefaniak, who, he makes some great beer, and it's all just for friends and family and everything like that. How do you get from, 100 people that do that and hand it out versus you guys who have made a thriving business out of that? What's that step? What are the hoops you have to jump through from there to there? Because I think this is a fascinating thing. Like Jim and I always talk about, Jim is an advocate for young businesses or startup businesses and all the pitfalls, that can befall you. And what did you say, Jim? Is it 2 out of 10 that survive or something?
Oh, yeah, John. It depends a little bit on the industry, but I bet your industry is got a failure rate too, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's what I mean. So I want to talk about that just to give some encouragement for other people. On the way out, how about a little Hank Williams, along with Hank Williams Jr., a little tear in my beer. Mino and the Mayor, back right after this.
I'm gonna keep drinking until I'm petrified.
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WGBW and WISS weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, home of the John and Gordy Show.
This St. Paddy's Day, if you want a pot of gold, list your home with the Aaron Weber Group at First Weber.
Excuse me, kind sir, but it's not Paddy's, it's Patty's, as in Patrick.
When selling or buying with Aaron Weber Group at First Weber, you'll get the best price with updated market reports and instant property value quotes. We like to say that movetomadison.com is kind of like a pot of gold.
Ooh!
It is the number one site for leprechauns to search for new homes this St. Paddy's Day. Visit the Aaron Weber Group at First Weber.
After my wife died, I felt like I lost everything, including my love of fishing. But one day, my granddaughter called, and I realized I still had a lot to look forward to. I got referred to a psychiatrist who explained depression can happen to anyone. Getting help doesn't make me weak. It makes me stronger. I just wish it made me better at fishing.
Mental health care is working for Diego. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we're going to hear from the Earl Ingram Show, where this week, Earl is joined by historian Reggie Jackson for the final day of Black History Month.
Hey, what's up, man?
Brother, what's up? This
is a big party, man.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Earl.
Good morning to everybody, as always. And I want to welcome back my special guest, Mr. Reggie Jackson of Reggie Jackson, Inc. Good morning to you, Reggie. How you doing, man?
I'm great, Earl. Thanks. Good to be back with you.
It's always great to have you around. For people who don't know, you're a nationally recognized writer. You're a nationally recognized orator, speaker, all those different things. Your article appears in The Independent.
Yeah, the Milwaukee Independent.
Yeah, how do people get access to the Milwaukee Independent?
MilwaukeeIndependent.com, and they can go to the website. It's an online magazine, and they can just search for my name, and they'll see all of the articles I've written since back in 2016.
So for people who don't know, this is the last day of 2024's Black History Month. I've had you on, I think this is the third time this month. And for people who haven't heard you, tell us a little about Reggie Jackson.
Well, I'm a native of Mississippi. Moved to Milwaukee when I was about 7 years old, back in the early 70s. You know, I spent some time during the course of my life. I served in the Navy for 6 years. I've also been a public school teacher. I was a teacher for 8 years in Milwaukee Public Schools. I was adjunct professor at Concordia University for 3 years back in 2008 to 2010. Taught courses on Intro to Sociology and American Contemporary Social Problems. I served as a volunteer at America's Black Holocaust Museum for nearly 20 years. Served 2 terms as board president at the museum as well. I've been following in the footsteps of the founder of the museum, Dr. James Cameron, my mentor and good friend. And I do this work, anti-racism work, very specifically because I'm trying to honor the memory of my ancestors and the trials and tribulations that they've endured, the resilience that they've shown me during the course of my life, and I'm paying it back to them.
Yeah, for those who don't know, you've traveled all over the state talking about history and the fact that we can't seem to get together in this country, just can't seem to work differences out. You don't accept that, do you?
I don't accept that. You know, as I've traveled around the state over the last 20 years, I found that all these places I've gone, Earl, that despite what people say about people not wanting to talk about certain issues, I found that people are, you know, they have this huge desire to talk about certain things, and they want to talk to someone who brings some level of expertise, and they keep inviting me back to have those conversations because they know that I have a very open and honest approach to having these conversations.
You know, Reggie, we can't get over what we know is a stain in this country's history, as well as present with racial issues in this country. The rest of the world is aware of it, and yet we can't seem to have the dialogue and conversation in this country. Why?
Well, as a nation, we've denied this history. We've denied, you know, the injustices. We've told the world in ourselves that, you know, America stands for freedom, justice, and liberty for all. Even though we knew it wasn't true, we continued to spout that off. And, you know, eventually people began to open up some books and read about the history and say, wait a minute, that doesn't seem to fit with the reality of what happened in American history. And so people don't like to question that. And now I think more often than not, people are questioning that story. And it's becoming a difficult conversation for those who want to believe that old version of American history. It's becoming difficult for them to hear that, you know, that wasn't the way it was. That's not how some people saw it. That's not the perspective some people are bringing to the conversation nowadays. All of us have different lived experiences. And one of the things that I've discovered traveling around the state of Wisconsin is the diversity of lived experiences people have had. People in different parts of the state have completely different perspectives on the world around them based on their history in that particular place. And so I'm always, you know, of the mindset that if we continue to go to these different places and have these conversations and learn from each other, then we'll be a better state. You know, I oftentimes joke with people that my nickname for Wisconsin is Mississippi, because we are such a segregated state. We don't like to think about it. We don't like to really see that. But, you know, Black people only make up about 6% of the population in the state of Wisconsin.
Most people don't know that.
6%, only 6%. You know, I've asked this question as I've traveled from town to town. And people, you know, often think that Black people are like half of the population of Wisconsin. I'm like, it's not even close. And a majority of Black people in the state of Wisconsin live in Milwaukee. Like 60% of all Black people in the state live in the city of Milwaukee. You know, as I travel to these places, Earl, I meet white people that say, Reggie, you know, I really wish, you know, there were more Black people here so I could have conversations with them about certain topics. You know, I wish I had a Black friend to talk to about these things. And I joke with people like, listen, man, there's not enough Black people for every white person to have a Black friend. There's just not enough of us to go around for everybody. But you can learn a lot about, you know, the experience of people from a group other than yours by reading the things that they write about themselves, you know, listening to podcasts that they make. There's tremendous scholarship about every group of people in the United States. People are constantly telling their stories. It's easy to find stuff if you're looking for it.
If you are just joining us, my guest is Reggie Jackson. What we want people to understand who don't get to see us in the state, which is the majority of the people in the state, we want the same thing that other people want.
Absolutely.
Right?
You know,
there's no difference.
There's no difference. I mean, you know, as I travel around the country, even Earl, I meet people that have the same goals in life. Everybody wants to have the same type of, you know, existence in this country. They want to be a part of what America offers, you know, take advantage of the great things that this country offers. They want it to be shared, you know, equitably with everybody, that no group of people should be shut out from having access to these things that are the American dream. That's what everybody wants. I don't care what, you know, labels we put on people. Everybody pretty much wants the same things.
And the fact that in the wealthiest nation on earth, there is enough to go around, right?
There's more than enough abundance. There's a tremendous amount of abundance if it's shared on a more equitable, you know, in a more equitable way.
Do you see a point in time where we may get beyond where we are now?
Well, you know, just because of the nature of the work that I do, traveling and talking about these things, or I have to keep at some point in the back of my mind a sense of optimism about the future. I mean, it wouldn't make sense for me to do the work, to travel and talk to people if I didn't. But at the same time, I tell people I'm not a pessimist. I'm not an optimist. I'm a realist. I look at the real world. And it leads me to feel a sense of dread about, you know, where we're going as a nation in terms of where we are currently, in terms of having such difficulty accepting that other people see the world differently than we do. And I can be okay with that. That's what I'm hoping that we move towards.
844-967-2789. My guess is Reggie Jackson of Reggie Jackson, Inc. You can join the conversation. 844-967. You're tuned in to 540 AM WAUK on Civic Media and 101 FM, the show.
The Earl Ingram Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 8 till 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
Broadcasting from the city where the official bird is the plastic pink flamingo, this is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. Hundreds of cars and trucks trapped in several feet of snow by a blizzard hitting Northern California and Nevada. Renee Edelman riding out the storm in Marin County.
Our house was rocking last night. There were gale force winds. The windows were creaking. It was the worst that I've seen in a few years.
Blizzard warnings remain in effect. Some towns have already received more than 7 feet of snow. And Texas conditions worsening as they battle a wildfire. It's grown to more than five times the size of New York City. Growing violence in Haiti. The government saying gangs attacked a prison. Thousands of inmates breaking out. An Israeli newspaper saying Israel boycotted Gaza ceasefire talks in Cairo today after Hamas rejected its demand for a complete list naming hostages that are still alive. Vice President Kamala Harris today in Selma, Alabama, marking the 59th anniversary of Bloody Sunday, a key moment in the battle for civil rights. This is ABC News.
More changes for the Packers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, where college players have been undergoing physicals and doing drills, except for USC quarterback Caleb Williams, who is expected to be the first pick by the Bears. Williams says, why share that information with other teams when you're number one overall? Meanwhile, the Milwaukee Journal reports that the Packers have asked the agent of running back Aaron Jones to agree to a restructured contract or possibly face being released in a couple of weeks. Running back A.J. Dillon is not expected to return and will become a free agent. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst.
Overall, I think our team is in good shape. I think we have a very strong roster, but you know, nothing's set in stone in this league, and we're going to bring in as many guys as we can to be competitive. And I would imagine that our roster will look a lot different than it did last year, like it always does from year to year. And we're excited about that.
As Packers GM Brian Gutekunst with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With Madison area weather, I'm Corey Hartman. Tonight, partly cloudy, breezy, 46. Chance of showers and storms on your Monday with a high around 58. Showers and storms Monday night, one could be on the strong side, a low around 37. For Tuesday, becoming sunny with a high of 50. That's WMDX weather. Right now, 71 degrees.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed at a reasonable hour. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 7 to 9 p.m. on Mad Radio, 1580 a.m. and 92.7 FM, WMDX.
Welcome to the Lazy Wolf Lounge, Madison's east side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Stop in for great daily lunch specials, soups made from scratch, and jaw-dropping burgers, wraps, and sandwiches. Plus Friday fish fry and homemade pizza cooked in a classic stone hearth pizza oven. The Lazy Wolf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyWolfLounge.com.
You need skill and a little luck to play the game of pool, and you could say one cue-making company in Wisconsin has both. Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake is the oldest pool cue-maker in the U.S. and remains a family-owned, third-generation operated business. Schmelke started as a one-man shop in the 1940s. Now more than 20 employees work at the facility. So do you know which state has the most cue-making manufacturers? Is it Maryland, Minnesota, Wisconsin? The answer coming up. Pool is an old game, and the cues similar to the ones used to play today were created in the late 1600s in Northern Europe. Pool came to America in the 19th century. So did you guess which state currently has four of the top five cue manufacturers? It is Wisconsin. And Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake has also been inducted into the International Cue Makers Hall of Fame, making this a worldwide slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Broadcasting from Civic Media Global Headquarters on State Street, this is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. Next up, we're going to hear from the Maggie Dawn Show. You can hear more of these shows wherever you get your podcasts or through the Civic Media app. Download it today at the Google Play or Apple App Store.
I'll smile, I know what it takes to fool this town. I'll do it till the sun goes down and all through the night time. Oh yeah, oh yeah, I'll tell you what you wanna hear. Keep my sunglasses on while I shed a tear. It's never the right time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm moving.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My thanks to Phil from Minneapolis, who joined us right before our bottom of the hour messages. Sorry I couldn't hear more from you, Phil. Thanks for listening. Call us again sometime and keep on listening to The Maggie Dawn Show, now coming to you live in a new time slot, 2 to 4 p.m., just after Mr. Todd Alba and just before the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, my good friends and yours. If you want to join us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And it would only be appropriate on this, my first show of the Maggie Dawn Show, to be joined by my two good friends and fabulous radio show hosts, Mike Crute and Dominic Salvia. Mike and Dom, how you doing, guys? How's Michigan?
Hey, Maggie Dawn, Michigan is fantastic. Just to Dom right now, Crute's working on some tech issues over here, but it is an exciting day here in the Motown. Crute and I went down to downtown Detroit, Cadillac Square, talking to some folks, trying to get a sense of what's going on here. So it's great to be on the road. We're at the corner bars. We would normally be here in Rochester, Michigan. And we had to check in, Maggie Dawn, because I'm so excited. You are now the lead into the Devil's Advocates. Congratulations. Welcome to the afternoon, sister.
Thanks so much, Dom. Little buddy, I'll always take you over, Mike. I mean, come on now. That's just good stuff. And of course you're in Cadillac Square because you've got the dopest Cadillac I know tooling around the east side of Milwaukee. I'll take a ride in that baby blue convertible anytime you want this summer, my friend.
Absolutely. Well, hell, the way the weather is today and tomorrow, hell, we may have to get it out when I get back, Maggie.
Crack it open. Get that engine revving for some tooling around. Listen, cruising with my little buddy Dom is always good fun. So what's the vibe you're getting on the street there with the folks before the big Michigan primary tomorrow?
It was actually pretty surprising. You know, Crudy does a really good man on the street, you know, very approachable, a very nice guy when he wants to be, Maggie. And a lot of the folks that we've talked to today have been fairly reserved. You know, we talk a little bit off camera, didn't really want to be recorded. We kind of got the sense that maybe some folks weren't really too aware that, oh my goodness, there's a primary happening tomorrow. So I think there's a little bit of folks not quite tuning in yet from my small sample here today. And certainly it was nice to talk to some folks, and even though they didn't want to be recorded specifically, then talk with their friends about what was happening, what's on the ballot, because, you know, it's a big civic engagement issue. So it was a lot of reservation, certainly some support for Joe Biden, we found, at least in downtown Detroit. But, you know, folks very, very reserved to let people know what they're thinking.
Do you think it's an enthusiasm thing or folks just not aware that the primary is tomorrow simply because it's basically a foregone conclusion?
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, we were listening to some of the radio, of course, radio guys on the road for the last, you know, 6 hours yesterday and a little bit today as we were going back and forth to Detroit and kind of scanning through the local radio stations to see what the vibe is. Number one, very surprised to see lots of religious channels. But number two, I heard some of the conservatives talking about the people tuning out. And I think it's a little bit different. I think people maybe are not yet tuning in. You know, not everyone lives, eats, and breathes the stuff the way we do, Maggie. And I think there's some of that. I think that's to be expected. You know, as we get closer, people get more in tune and more educated and more dialed in. But it's hard to not think about a lack of enthusiasm. I mean, just looking at the polls of what everyone's saying about both of the candidates and the enthusiasm, it's certainly lacking. And there were not people jumping up and down excited to go vote, at least in my opinion today.
Yeah, one of the interesting questions that I've heard starting to get more play is the purpose of a partisan primary. And especially for the presidential election, in many ways, the last few cycles, the Trump cycle, of course, being an exception. But it seems often that the partisan presidential primaries are basically an anointment of whomever is the RNC or the DNC's preferred candidate. In other words, that the fix is in and that the people don't feel as engaged and as connected. There was an interesting book that just came out. It's called The Primary Solution. And the author advocates for getting rid of partisan primaries. You'd still have primaries, but they would be open primaries. And your top two vote getters, whatever they may be, middle of the road, pragmatists, independents, conservatives, or liberals, move on to the general election. What do you think about that? I mean, I especially for presidential primaries, I haven't liked the way that this system works for quite some time, especially the inner workings and the Byzantine rules that both the DNC and the RNC use. Nobody understands them except the folks running those conventions.
Right, and it's a big club, and a lot of people are not in it. You know, Crudy and I got into this conversation a bit literally today on this very topic on the way down to Detroit.
Because great minds think alike, Dom, obviously.
I know. And at the end of the day, you know, these are private institutions. You know what I mean?
Yep.
They're political parties, and you can join them or you cannot join them. And I totally agree with what you're saying. I think it's a very interesting concept for a nonpartisan presidential primary. Certainly, I think that might help. But at the end of the day, maybe these are private clubs, and they can set their own rules, and they can decide how they want to spend their money. They can decide how they're going to, award their delegates. And if more people, my solution, while I appreciate the nonpartisan primary idea, is if everybody was all of a sudden part of the party, I think the mass of people joining and contributing and having their input, wanting their input to be known, that is really what it needs. Because otherwise, you get what you get from the people that are doing it.
Yeah, it's been so fascinating to me to watch the former president remake the RNC in his own image, basically pushing Rona McDaniel out, which is basically would have been considered political Harry Caray three cycles ago, right?
Yeah.
You're months out from a national convention and selecting your party's presidential candidate, and you're dumping your RNC chair. That just didn't happen in these before times. And so watching those machinations and the inner workings of the RNC, I mean, he's proposing to have his daughter-in-law basically co-chair the RNC. It's like, doesn't anybody else think that this is a little odd? Generally speaking, nepotism has never been, you know, America's favorite value or Wisconsin's favorite value. But apparently that doesn't apply to today's RNC. It's really surprising to me.
And it is really surprising how quickly Donald Trump took over that party. And see how the supposed philosophies of the conservative movement since Reagan have all essentially just been tossed aside. And if you didn't engage in the very specific Trumpism within the RNC, if you weren't MAGA, then you're on your way out. And he has done that, and people have responded to that. So I was actually quite surprised on how easily he came in when we first saw him down in 2015, 2016 at the Freedom Summit, before he even declared, how people were just in awe, enamored of the celebrity, of the billionaire celebrity, and they've just bent to his will so seemingly, so easily for a party that I would believe to be principled, at least in some regards, certainly over the years. I think that's swayed. So to the point that, you know, people need to engage in their party, well, like Donald Trump did that. I mean, he took it over.
Yeah, that's one kind of engagement.
Right.
Well, when we look back at this, especially for Wisconsinites, right? And I don't care where you're from in the state. I think Wisconsinites have always valued independent thinking, objectivity, and accountability. And it's been an interesting evolution of sorts, in my mind, to watch a state that remains very purple, but folks who may still be casting votes on the GOP side, at least of the presidential ticket, apparently don't want to continue to express those values of independent thinking, of questioning authority, and really holding governmental actors and elected officials holding their feet to the fire. That seems a very rapid change here in the state of Wisconsin, because those are values, again, Democratic or Republican, independent. Yeah, we want independent thinkers. We want to hold people accountable. We want governmental actors and elected officials to do what they said they were going to do when they ran for office. And we seem to be getting less and less of that, less and less of the truth-telling, more and more of the personality politics, which I never really associated with Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's all about the brand now, and the ability for the Republicans to cast aside the principles as quickly as they did. From a citizen's perspective, I totally agree with what you're saying. Those are the things I want. That's how I was raised. You know, if you do something, there's going to be do something wrong. There's going to be consequences. You know, do your best, get up early, work hard, do those things. Accountability, transparency, those things are, I think, are just what I was raised with and what I believe we should have in our elected leaders. But however, unfortunately, some of those leaders, I think, would rather have one means. They would rather have people that listen to them. They do exactly what they say and do not challenge. And I think that authoritarian bent is really being pushed through by people like Donald Trump. But if you're so willing to embrace that after being, you know, a free market capitalist, I wonder where the real loyalties lie.
Well, that's my question as we all move forward. And certainly I've got plenty of conservative friends. And
sure,
we can argue about the finer points of Reagan's GOP or conservatism. But that's not the political question that's before us anymore. It's a much more black and white or starkly posed choice to many of us as voters. I'm curious, what, if anything, you're hearing there from the men and women on the street, as it were, in Michigan, about RFK Jr. I'm so curious. Are they talking about this guy? Are they talking about Dean Phillips? Like, do they know who these caricatures, I guess, are?
You know, I had an interaction with a friend I hadn't seen in a while. Came to Milwaukee over the weekend, and he was the only person I've talked to recently that actually brought up, hey, what do you know about this Kennedy character? As far as Phillips is concerned, no, I've not heard, other than in the state of Wisconsin, when they try to keep him off the ballot, I haven't heard that name bantered around at all.
I find that fascinating. I mean, pack up the tent, Dean, you're done. I'm going to be covering a little bit of RFK and how wealthy he is getting off of effectively spreading lies about COVID. He's making tens of millions of dollars. You're not going to want to miss that coming up a little bit later this week on the Maggie Dawn Show. Listen, Dom, you give Crute a big hug for me. You guys have a great time in Michigan. I'm going to be tuning in tonight, and everybody should tune in every night following the Maggie Dawn Show to the Devil's Advocates Radio. They're on from 4 to 6, following my 2 to 4 time slot. What are your pearls of wisdom for me, Dom? What should I absolutely not do or absolutely should do as a new midday show host?
Number one, the only thing you really need to do is just always assume the mics are on. That's my only advice I can give you in that regard. As far as the show is concerned, Maggie Dawn, I've told you before, you just be you, Maggie Dawn. I cannot wait. I'm so happy you're preceding us here on the Civic Media Network. Congratulations.
Thank you, buddy. I love you. Love to Mike. Both of you gentlemen, without you, I'm not here. So my thanks to your mentorship, your friendship, your respect, and your support. I really appreciate you guys. Have fun in Michigan. I'll be listening. And so should you.
All right, back at you, sister.
Thanks, Dom. So should you. Devil's Advocates coming up after this first inaugural Maggie Dawn Show, midday 2 to 4 p.m. time slot. We're going to take a couple of very important messages. Keep it locked. We're going to go to the phones when we come back. Thanks, everybody.
The Maggie Dawn Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday evenings at 6. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt and Air on Air.
The John and Gordy Show.
People don't realize there used to be radio schools.
It was a night school, and my very first day, I walk up the stairs, and there in the lobby is my instructor. He's laying on the couch, his arm over his head, and he's going, "Oh, my God, I wish I'd gotten into real estate." That was the encouragement I got right away.
Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But right now in front of us is victory over cancer. Right now, cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to better treatments and saving lives. Victory over cancer is there for the taking by you, because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory. Learn more at V.org.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Closing out this week's Civic Media Spotlight, we go to the John and Gordy Show from WMDX in Madison, where this week they did a remote broadcast from Shortstack Eatery on State Street.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's House of Excuses. The next time you need a good excuse for being late to work or forgetting your spouse's birthday, just call the House of Excuses. We guarantee that we'll come up with a good excuse for you on the spot. Our guarantee is simple. If we don't come up with a good excuse for you, we promise to give you a good excuse for not coming up with one.
Mad Radio WMDX 92.7 FM at 1580 AM. I wonder how they're doing, you know, with requests for excuses.
I don't know. If they're not doing well, I'm sure they've got an excuse for that. You know, that's the way that works.
That's right.
John and Gordy live at Shortstack Eatery, 301 West Johnson Street, beautiful downtown Madison. It's kind of cold out there this morning, but the flapjacks are hot on the griddle right now.
Hot coffee is ready
from here. And we're visiting with Alex Lindenmeyer. And she's one of the owners here at Shortstack. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Thanks for letting us come in here and take over this table. And we appreciate the invite here. How long have you been here with the restaurant?
Well, we're coming up on 10 years.
Wow. Excellent. And you become a Madison staple down here. It's great. Great coffee. Great Shortstacks. Tell us about the Shortstack idea that you came up with here.
I'm not even really a pancake person.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, wait a minute.
You don't like pancakes?
Well, I'm a savory person. I feel like people think of breakfast food like sweet or savory, and I'll choose savory all day.
And savory is?
Like Eggs Benedict and biscuits and gravy and corned beef hash.
Yeah.
And the sweet, of course, is the Shortstack.
Pancakes, yeah. I think it just has, I'm a sucker for alliteration. I like a good, easily pronounceable name. So, yeah, I think Shortstack just kind of easy to say.
And not being a pancake person, you came up with great pancakes.
Yeah, we did. People definitely kind of, the goal was to have like a small, super small focus menu and just kind of have like food that's kind of addictive. And so our hope was to kind of build this little, you know, shop on the corner in the heart of the Isthmus where people would come back twice, three times a week and have like a really good local culture downtown. So we've been missing in the past 10, 15 years, we've definitely been missing locally owned shops down on State Street. We kind of see those, a lot of those being pushed out.
Yeah. So for people who have never been here before, give us just a quick overview of what they can expect to find here on the menu. What are some of the specialties that you have?
Yeah. If you've never been here before, the first thing I'll say is we get really busy. So people should come early.
Yeah.
Early
well, especially on weekends, right?
Yeah,
they'd line up down the block.
Yeah. There's definitely a line going on. It's packed in here, but it gets pretty fun. It's fun energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, super small focused menu. We really like to focus our sourcing local. I mean, we live in Wisconsin, so the amount of purveyors that we have access to is awesome. Mm-hmm. And so we have the farmers market 2 blocks up the square most of the season here when the weather starts to get nice. And the menu, super simple, like a lot of pancakes, French toast, a few good savory dishes. And then the thing that I guess there's been a subculture that's been built around is something we call the blind special.
Yeah.
It's our daily special that we offer, and it's a discounted price if you order it blindly without knowing what it is. Mm-hmm. And so
yeah.
That's for the brave eaters.
And then you penalize people question at a time, 100%. Right? Is that how you do
it? Yeah. So if you don't want to be brave, we'll let everyone know. Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. The only question people can ask is if it's sweet or savory, because that's kind of how people think about breakfast food. And so that's something that the kitchen, I came up with that idea to help myself not die of boredom back there. It helps me, you know, stay creative.
Okay.
It gives me something to do because we make the same food all day, every day. So it helps us, you know, have something to be.
Anybody react negatively about
Oh, no kidding.
It's like every once in a while you're going to miss, you know, like you got to keep trying stuff. And every once in a while you're not going to like it. I like the people that are a little brave where they'll order the blind special, but then they'll also order like two other meals that they know they like so that they're set.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Wow. I love the idea and people getting angry.
There's definitely been a subculture around it. Like, since we don't tell anyone what it is, we've had people that like come in and eat it, and then they created a website to tell people about it. We've had Twitter handles started where people try to spread the word about what the blind special is.
Oh.
Yeah, people try to be sneaky about it, but...
Well, you should change it midday, you know. Just
100%. Keep people on their toes,
Yeah, what are your hours, by the way?
We're open Tuesday through Sunday.
Okay.
And we used to be open a lot more, like, late night hours. Mm-hmm. After the pandemic, we kind of had to adjust that model a little bit just with staffing. And so Tuesday through Thursday, we're open 6 to 1, and then Friday through Sunday, we're open 6 to 2.
That's a long time. Yeah. Long hours.
Yeah.
We had a caller ask us once, you know, some of the language they use for orders. You know, some kind of fun, very unique ways of calling for a specific order. Do you have anything like that?
Any nicknames or anything for what you have?
Yeah. Potatoes. If you want to order potatoes with cheese on them, they're called Chuckies. If you want to order potatoes with onions on them, they're called Browns. And if you want to order potatoes with cheese and onions, they're called Chucky Browns. So that's
some
kitchen lingo back there. So if I like bring out food to a table, if like they need help running food, they don't usually let me work out here, but if I drop food off, I'm like, oh, who had the Chucky Browns? And every customer's like, what the hell? That's a kitchen lingo. So if you want to be cool back there with the kitchen staff, you can refer to them as that.
Okay.
That is great. All right.
Well, good enough. Well, we have a special song that we wanted to share with you.
Really?
Alex, so
I'm a pancake. I'm a pancake.
Have you heard this song before?
I'm a pancake. I'm a pancake.
I love it.
I'm a pancake.
Well, we appreciate you letting us be here today.
Sounds like something from Dora.
It does. And we appreciate you having us here. And we're going to have some pancakes a little bit later on here after the broadcast. But thank you very much.
Yeah.
Right on, guys. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm thinking short stacks real, real soon.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Right?
We're gonna have some around here.
Absolutely.
Aren't we? Because I am not gonna sit here and talk about pancakes and not have some.
Yeah.
And we should reveal to everybody that Gordy has a problem with pancakes, doesn't he?
Does he?
Yes,
he likes thin crepes.
He likes crepes.
I do like crepes.
Crappy crepes pancakes.
Now when was the last time you had crepes? Do you not like crepes?
But there's nothing to
I'm saying between halfway between a crepe and a pancake. That's why I like my pancakes.
That's not a pancake.
Pancakes.
It's really a crepe.
Skinny.
It's
you know,
skinny.
To each their own.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, no, you can't say that.
Oh, really?
To each their own. You can't. That's not a debate point.
Okay, let's talk French toast.
No, let's not talk.
Cinnamon or no cinnamon?
Cinnamon.
That's ridiculous.
Okay.
How about powdered sugar?
So you think...
Powdered sugar? No powdered sugar.
No powdered sugar.
Powdered sugar for me.
Oh, my God.
Everybody has different tastes. What are you talking about?
We're talking about pancakes that are real pancakes, American pancakes. You're not an American.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Quite a build up just for that.
Yeah. Actually, John, we got to take a break now. You and I have to have a little discussion here now. 6:49.
Arm wrestling.
Oh, when we come back, we're going to find out more about Eric Hovde. What's he done now? What's he said now? You
Let's
won't
do
believe it.
Yeah.
I'm going to some thin pancakes over here, please.
The John and Gordy on air at 92.7 megahertz frequency modulation and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Nightline with Pete
Schwaba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwaba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson, talking about attacks on civil rights, voting rights, and also the war in Gaza on the anniversary.